Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. After a Christian is born again, there can be no great change unless they grow up spiritually. This Friday's message will help you discover three key ways that you can develop and grow in the Spirit. Today, Bishop Dag will delve into some of the ways that he has fed his Spirit over the years and will give you practical tips that you can implement in your own Christian walk in order to become more spiritually mature. Learn more about growing up and becoming a full-grown man spiritually from today's blessed word.
First Peter chapter 2, and we want to look at the scripture there. First Peter chapter 2, and we want to look at the scripture there. It says, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. I'm sure most of us have heard this scripture before. Is that not so? All right. Now, the seven great principles we've been discussing help you to understand what Christianity is. Amen. And what it is not. It helps you to know what it really means when you say you are a believer or you are a Christian. Because it's not joining a group like you join a political party or join a soccer team or be a member of the supporters of the of a particular soccer team. That is not what it means to be born again. To be born again means to have had an experience, something like surgery, right? Something like an operation has been done, has taken place on your spirit. That is why the first principle I shared with you was the fact that man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. And that the spirit of a person who is not saved is dead and desperately wicked, no matter who it is. That explains why children start committing crimes. That explains the wickedness of little children, even in secondary school. That explains the wickedness of mankind generally. That explains the atrocities we have experienced in the world during the wars, during Ghana's coup d'etats, during the civil wars of Sierra Leone and Liberia and Kosovo, Serbia, Bosnia, and so on. It explains the nature of man, the wickedness of man. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says, the heart of man is desperately wicked. Not just wicked, desperately wicked. The Bible says that the heart of man was darkened and God gave up mankind. You know, that is why human beings campaign so much for democracy. Because democracy somehow guarantees that one wicked person will not have control over others forever. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that is why, even in democracy, there are three arms to the government. The legislature, that is the people who make the laws, which is the parliament. The executive, which is the like the president and his cabinet. And then the judiciary, which are the judges. So even the president really can be taken to court and can be dealt with by the judges, technically speaking. Although that's what happened to Clinton, because that's where democracy works. But in less developed democracies, you will find out that the president has power over the judges. It's because of the wickedness of man. And so when a man is born again, what happens is that that heart, that wickedness, and that evil heart, which is dead and desperately wicked, is operated on by God. And in fact, it's not really operated on, but it is recreated. You know, you must have heard that scripture before. When a man is in Christ, he is a new creation, or a new creature, new creation. All right? And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible also uses the same expression, which is very interesting. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship created. We've been created in Christ Jesus." You get it? So we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. So we have been created. Amen. Another very interesting verse is in Titus chapter 2. Chapter 3, verse 5, it says, or verse 4, it says that, "But after that the wickedness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly." Now, this is another way of describing salvation. Listen, it says, not by works of righteousness. In other words, not by you doing the right thing. Doing the right thing is not going to take you to heaven. Yeah. There are a lot of good people who are going to go to hell, because all our righteousness does not qualify us for heaven. Because even if you are very, very good outwardly, in your heart, you are dead and wicked. And that is why you see sometimes heads of state, they come with a lot of good sounding words, like Hitler. Going to do this, do that. And everybody feels that it's a good thing. Don't think that Hitler was unpopular. Hitler was very popular. And he did a lot of good things. But you see the type of person he really was afterwards, when it was all over. And we realize that, in fact, he was a very evil man. But many evil men come like a good person at the beginning. You see, so even the outward works don't qualify us. You see, but I like the word there. He says, by the washing, he saved us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. Now, that washing of regeneration, the word there, the Greek word there, is the word palingenesis. You see, coming from the word genesis, or create, fabricate, renovate. Those are the meanings of that word. So you have been refabricated. Original, the original form, genesis. You know the word genesis, the beginning of beginning. So by the washing of beginning you again. You understand what I'm saying? So to be born again is different from joining a religion. If you just join the church, but you are not born again, you have not been recreated, and you will not qualify to get into heaven. Now, this new person who is created in you is a righteous being. So you have a good heart. And that explains some of the verses we read, like we've been reading in 1 John 3. It says that he that is born of God does not sin. In fact, he cannot sin. Do you remember? Last week I showed you that verse. The Bible says when you are born of God, you can't sin. Now, every one of us knows we can sin. We are more than capable of sinning. And we do sin. In fact, the same book in chapter 1 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So what does he mean when he says that he that is born of God cannot sin? You see, there he is talking about the new creation, which is created after God in righteousness and true holiness, cannot sin. Of course, if you are like God, created just like God, you cannot sin. God cannot sin. God cannot. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. He cannot. It's something he cannot do. You can't make him sin. Even if you try, he can't sin. You get it? So now, we've got to understand a little more about this new heart that we have. And that's where we come to this morning, that the Spirit, well, after a man is born again, the Spirit is a newborn baby. And it needs to grow. Now, if your newborn spirit, or newly created spirit, born again, does not grow, it is almost as though you were not born again. This is what happens to many people. That is why pastors are so important. Churches are so important. So that the new spirit can grow. Because when you have received Christ Jesus, and your spirit is born again, recreated, Genesis, polygenesis, refabricated, it now needs to develop. Yes, you may be the genius of geniuses. You may be Einstein, but you got to grow up before you can give us the formula E is equal to MC squared. If you never grow, you'll never tell us that E is equal to MC squared. Do you know E is equal to MC squared? Some are confused. Huh? It's like saying twinkle, twinkle, little star. But the reality is that except you grow up, if you are supposed to become the president of Ghana, you got to still grow up, even though in you is the presidential future, the presidential dream, the dream candidate, dream whatever. You still have to grow. Otherwise, it's all not going to manifest. Perhaps you're going to be a surgeon. Perhaps you're going to be a nurse. But you still have to grow up. Otherwise, all those great things which are in you will never happen. Even if you are born into a very rich family, you have to grow up to be able to really inherit the things. Otherwise, you'll never inherit them. There are people whose parents die, and they may be 6 years old, 2 years old, 5 years. They've got to get to the age, 21 or 18 or whatever, before they are allowed to inherit, really, practically, the things that their parents left for them. So unless they grow, so their duty is just to grow into the things that that have been provided for them. So that's why the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2 that as newborn babies in Jesus Christ, you must desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You may grow thereby. And I am sad to say that most Christians have not grown. Have not grown a single bit. Now, how do you grow as a Christian? Let me share with you 3 keys to growing up as a believer or as a newborn Christian. How to develop your human spirit. How to let the newly created inner man become a mighty man. Demons can see when you are just a skeleton. And they can see when you are a little baby. Now, anytime I talk about this, I always remember a particular pastor or man of God. He's called Robert Ladden. And he will be here, God willing, in December. Amen. During our election period, he's going to be ministering here in this church. Now, he was 8 years old. When he was caught up to heaven, he was taken to heaven by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was taken around heaven and shown so many things. Now, I always remember, when he comes, I'm going to ask him to talk about that. But I always remember one thing, was that even though he was 8 years old, he was 33 years old spiritually when he got to heaven. So he was 8 years old physically, but he was 33 years old. Now, the reason was his grandmother, who was looking after him, insisted on him praying for 1 hour or so every day. For hours he used to have to pray or read the Bible or something like that. Every day it was part of the exercise that his grandmother insisted on him doing. Amen. And that had caused him to develop spiritually. So when he was caught up into heaven, like, you know, Paul said, the Bible says, and I know a man who was caught up to heaven who saw things which it is unlawful to speak about. You can be caught up. I see God catching you up. How many want to be caught up to see certain things? I feel like catching up is coming. Amen. So he was actually 33 years old. Now, let's ask you, now, how many years ago did you get born again? You get it? How many years? Maybe 4 years ago. Maybe 5 years ago. So, how old are you spiritually? It's not by the number of years you've been in the church. Oh, no. Oh, no. Not at all. There are some people who've been around for a short while, and they've developed so much. There are some people who've been around for a long time, and they are still total babies. Total. Complete. Some people have not developed at all. You see, if you look at me, I have grown a little since I was born again in Achimota School around form 4. And I've been growing.
Amen.
I've been growing. And I didn't get born again alone. There were other people who got born again. And I have been growing steadily, and I'm still growing.
Amen.
And it is up to you to decide to grow or not to grow. Because no one can make you grow except you want to grow or you decide that it is important. I don't know. Let me tell you. I don't know. You decide for yourself. But I feel that there are some people who are so dull spiritually. No matter what you say, they don't change. Are you one of those, that type of person? You know, I've noticed they are in church. They can be around for years. They don't progress. Sometimes I wonder, What is the reason? Why does this brother never really move higher in the Lord? Why does this sister never go up, even though they are around for a long time? They keep hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Sometimes when you are preaching, they even know what you are going to say, but they don't grow. I pray that you will not have that problem in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me give you 3 keys to growing up spiritually. Number one, key number one, the Word of God. The Word of God. Key number one is the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2. What does it say? It says, let's read it again. Underline it in your Bible. It is there for all of us to benefit from. It says, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. The word is what you grow by. Miracles don't grow Christians. Miracles don't make you grow. Revivals don't make you grow. The spirit flowing doesn't make you grow. Anointings and demonstrations don't make you grow. Stirrings and moves and revivals don't make Christians grow. That's a fact. It's very nice to have stirrings and revivals, and we are going to have some stirrings and revivals this week. But that per se does not make you grow. You can't live off that. So if you are in a church where the pastor does not teach you the word of God, but every Sunday there's a stirring and there's a move, you're not likely to grow much, because you don't grow on miracles. How many of you eat bread morning, afternoon, evening? Just bread. Huh? Would you grow thereby? Can you grow thereby? Can you grow by there? You cannot grow by there. You cannot grow thereby. You cannot just eat toffee, or yogurt. You can't just eat yogurt. You'll be very, very some way. I don't know what will happen. You either become very puffy or very slim. That's what happens to children. Kwashioko and marasmus. Kwashioko, they don't have protein. And then they become, how do they become? Is there any doctor here? Are these some students here? So give me that, Paul. Big stomach, and what else? The head becomes? The hair thins. Silky red hair. You see, your hair becomes silky. As though you are an Ethiopian. And what?
The hair starts coming off.
And the hair starts coming off, and what else? The legs, you know, become like sticks. No, that is another one. We are talking about kwashioko. And then marasmus. That one, the child looks like an old man in a very little baby body. It's a classic picture of marasmus. It's the picture of an elderly 73-year-old man in a 2-year-old body. You see, very elderly, mature person. And marasmus is as a result of what? Lack of food. Lack of protein and what else? Energy. Carbohydrates generally. You know? So, that's what happens to some. Now, anything that is imbalanced in your diet, you know, affects you and you become some way. So, if you have all teaching and you don't have stirrings and revivals, you also become lopsided. If you have only the Sunday teaching, but you don't have the weekday, you're also a little different.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you have just the weekday and the Sunday, but you don't have the small group type of sharing. You see, I grew up more by my small group sharing in Scripture Union, more than this Sunday type of church.
Yeah.
In our time, there weren't pastors who would preach like this much. They were just brothers sharing the word, and we used to ask questions. That's how, and you grew a lot by that. So when you don't have that, you have just this and have just that. You see, all that explains, and you notice people who really go far and they really advance and they seem to grow. They have all these parts. It's a fact. No, I'm not trying to tell you, this is a reason why you should come. You know, I'm just trying to show you a fact. After all, I'm not supposed to lie. I can't. So, when you have all that, you find yourself growing. Because if you came, let's say, even for a shepherd's camp, what you would hear is different. I don't preach about the shepherd's camp things here. No, not at all. Shepherd's camps are different. Camps are different generally, and shepherd's camps are different. So, all these different variations come into play when you are supposed to develop and grow as a believer. Now, there's another very, very important second step to the word, which is doing the word. The second step to growing spiritually is doing the word. Doing. Now, let's look at James. James. Chapter 1, verse number 22. It says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." Have you found it? James chapter 1, verse 22. "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your pastors. For if any..." Pardon? Sorry, read it again. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your bishop." Sorry, I made a mistake. "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your pastors." Your reverence. Your shepherds. Who are you deceiving? Your own self. You are deceiving, you are telling yourself a lie. Why? For even if he be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into a perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed. In other words, this man is the one who's going to grow. So not just hearing. So in other words, it's not just hearing that makes you blessed, but the one who hears and does begins to be blessed. Auntie Martha, is that not Bertha? Is that not so? Hearing and doing. Now, this is the reason why a whole lot of people don't grow. I have come to find out I don't grow in God unless I obey the first one that he told me. If he tells me A and I don't do A, I don't move on. I just stay there. Amen. I just stay. He's told me and I don't do, I stay at the same place until I do. And you see, all that I'm sharing is useless if you don't do it. Because next week I'm going to come and heap on more and more and more. And you don't change. And God speaks to you in the morning. You have your quiet time. He tells you, you don't mind him. Let's say you hear about tithes. God teaches you. God is telling you, I'm going to work on your financial aspect, and I'm going to make you begin to pay tithes, and you're going to move on with me. And you just don't obey him. You don't do it. I mean, you just stay where you are. In fact, you not only stay where you are, but you begin to develop a dangerous condition called hardening of the heart. You see, anything which receives constant irritation becomes hard. Shake the person next to you, see whether his palm, you can see whether he works hard or not by the palm. Some people's palms are like leather. It's from work. And some people's palms are soft. They've never had a cutlass before. They've never weeded before. They've never done certain things. They've never had blisters before. The hardness comes from constantly receiving the same blows. Now, when you hear and hear and hear and hear and you do not obey or do not do the word of God, what happens? You become hardened. Hardened! Hardened! And it's dangerous to be hardened. Very dangerous. You see, there are two dangers. One is the danger of obesity. And one is the danger of hardness. Obesity is where you hear and you know and you know and you know. When you have so much and you are overweight, you are fat. The doctors can give us about 7 dangers of being overweight. Your heart can get choked up. You can have a heart attack easily. Hypertension, diabetes, atherosclerosis, myocardial infarction. And coronary arteries will be coronary thrombosis. So many possibilities. And all this is as a result of just eating and eating and eating and eating and eating and not enough exercise. Nothing doing but eating. You know why you rarely see a little child very fat, let's say around 6 years, very fat? Is it common to see like small, very big like that? You often see, they run around so much. They move around. They can't stay in one place. There's so much activity. So they are lean. It's from the activity. The activity burns out what they eat. Many of us here, you see, what is happening is you are younger. So you don't have, they still have a lot of activity. You walk to church, you walk up and down, and you do this, and people don't do things for you. But as you grow up, You get it? And then if you are even nothing, at least there will be some juniors around. And you'll be sending them. Go and do this, go and do this, go and do this. So you gradually reduce the amount of activity that you have. So the same amount of food that you've been eating, it begins to be stored. And then that's where the pot bellies and other things begin to come from. And then you see that, but you are becoming an executive heavyweight. That's why most people, have you noticed sometimes you see the person by his size, you see the person's age. It's like the bigger, the older. It is not because they are eating more, but it's because there's sometimes less to do. And it's dangerous. How is it dangerous in the church? People who know a lot are sometimes dangerous. Let's say you're in a church, you know what I'm preaching. As I'm preaching, I was talking to one young man. He said to me, he was talking about his pastor. I said, I know all his sermons. He mentioned, he said, I know pastors, I know all his sermons. I know all of them. He said, I know everything that he preaches. I said, really? He said to me, he has nothing new to say. That's what he said. He said, he has nothing new to say. Now you see, he has become proud because the Bible said knowledge puffs up. You know and you know and you know and you know and you know, but you don't do. So you can become puffed up. You have so much truth. It's not just truth. It's not just truth. But when you start to do it, you realize that it's more than truth. It's truth and grace. So the truth does not make you proud. I'm sharing something very important with you right now. You see, people who just have knowledge, they have what I call just truth. Truth alone is sometimes a weapon in the hand of the devil. That is why when the Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 14, it says that, and we beheld the glory as the glory of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth, not just truth, full of grace and truth. Because you see, when you just have the facts, but you don't have the grace in addition to the facts, the truth, it is often it's not a good thing. I'll explain to you. Listen carefully. Here, listen, this is very important.
Amen.
20 years ago, we had a revolution. Corruption. You see, we have facts or the truths or the theories. Corruption, blah, blah, blah. These people have stolen money. This, that should be done, etc. Kill them, the death sentence. And I read about one of the vice presidential candidates, his opinion on the death sentence. He said that anybody who is involved in corruption should receive the death penalty. And he explained, listen to the explanation, and you'll notice that the explanation is true. He said, when a person steals a lot of money, right, maybe he has stolen the road by which somebody will drive on to come to hospital. Or he's stolen all the syringes and all the money that would have been used to make the hospital. So thereby, he kills millions of people. You get it? You do understand the theory. So in other words, that person who has been involved in corruption is actually a murderer. Because through his stealing, he has deprived so many of the opportunity to have malaria, or for the gutters to be clean, or for there to be a good country. So many more people die of diseases and other accidents happen on the road because the road has not been made, because the money has been stolen. So in other words, the person is a murderer. So he should have the death sentence. That's the truth. And if you think about it, is it not true? That's truth without grace. But as you become more mature, you will not speak like that. Because 20 years have gone by since Achampo and others were murdered at Teshi. And we have corruption more every time we read it in the newspapers. And nothing is done about it. Nothing. If we were to use the same rule by which we measured these people and sentenced them to death, then there are some people here, a nail will be nailed on their head and nailed through. They should be tied by motorcycle and driven through the city. If the same ruler was to be used, they would not even be shot. Their own day, they would die slowly. But you see, with experience, not just the truth or the theory, but the truth mixed with the grace will make you a bit calmer. That's why sometimes when somebody's going to be a president, say that he should be above a certain age, so that he becomes a bit more mature and he's a little less radical. Are you still around? Are you still around or you go? So that is why the Bible says that we beheld his glory. The beauty of Jesus was that he didn't just come with the truth, but he came with the truth and grace. Full of grace and truth.
Amen.
As pastors, we are not only ministering truth, but truth. When a pastor ministers just truth, it's different. But when it's truth and grace. We preach against sin, but we know that people sin. After experience in the years for some time, doing the thing, but you realize that, and as much as you say and sin, still people are doing. But then as the grace of God mixes with the truth, your heart as a pastor is open to welcome those who will receive and obey. And those who receive and don't obey and go and play around and come back, you are still ready for them because you have grace mixed with truth to many more people to the house of the Lord. Amen. So, ladies and gentlemen, I am saying that when we just have knowledge and we never get involved and we never do the work of God or do the word of God, it now becomes information, and we become critical. We judge, we pass harsh judgments because we've never been there before. You've never been a pastor before. You've never been a leader before. You've never tried to control people before. Most of my pastors, when they start working, they come and they start doing the work of God as pastors. They come and they tell me after a point, in fact, Bishop, you've really tried. When people start to criticize, when you are young and they are criticizing somebody or they are creating stories about the person, you will say to yourself, oh, there's no smoke without fire. Oh, I mean, there must be something. He should change his ways. So, okay, fine. When you start and then they start to deal with you, then you begin to say, in fact, this man has been through a lot. This small thing that I've seen, I realize that. You see, that's why God is saying that you never really grow until you practice the word.
Amen. Amen.
Theoretically, it is easy to say nobody should marry an unbeliever. Don't marry an unbeliever. We say it and we preach it and we believe that is the truth. But the reality is that some people are marrying unbelievers. And if they marry unbelievers, we won't cast them away. We still have the grace of God open. Well, we have been in the church for a long time. We have seen people, we have preached the truth, and still, in spite of that, they still go ahead and they marry unbelievers. Truth with grace. The grace of God is still there for them. It doesn't mean that you should do it. The Bible says that because the grace of God abounds, that does not mean that we should continue in sin. So I am saying to you that we are to mix the grace of God with truth because we practice the word. You in your house. Some people have never been married before. That is why they have somebody like Apostle Paul. I believe that he had a lot of all that he preached, all that he said was the truth, the word. Some people have not been married. I remember sometime I was talking about marriage before I was married, and the guy told me that I want to see when you are married. What you will be saying when you are married. Because you see, saying that knowing things is different from doing the things, and still after doing the thing, you are still able to say. So that's why you have to respect somebody who is still doing it, and then he's still saying the same thing after 10 years, 20 years. He still says the same things that he used to say. So church, you will never grow until you actually practice the word. And I want you to begin to be doers. Amen. I want you to come for prayer meetings. I want you to put your flesh down for just 4 hours on a Friday. I'd be tired for God. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm coming down to you, isn't it? I'm coming down to you. I'm telling you something realistic. I want you to come to prayer meeting. Really. Most of you don't come. I want you to come. I believe that you'll be blessed if you came. I want you to join ministries. And if they are boring, you make it lively. Because you are the one who knows, who has been able to diagnose that it's boring. So you please come and make the thing lively. And please be a shepherd also. You get it? So that you have a lively group that we can watch and emulate and learn from. That's really what I want. practice. Please, today is tithing day. Few of you brought your tithes. I pray that you will obey the word of the Lord. Amen.
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 And there's somebody here who is having a boyfriend, an unbeliever boyfriend. You're sleeping with a person. Even this week you slept with him. It's something that you always do. God is saying to you that stop it. And just straighten out. You know yourself. You know yourself. Until you start to obey all the other things we are preaching about, peep, it's passing the bush. Stop it. And we have heard that there's grace and then truth to soul. Now, in fact, what we are saying, we think that... don't be silly. I said, do not be silly. Please change your... Don't get HIV and then come to us. In fact, sometimes the world is better at grace than we Christians. Because you see America and so on, they'll watch us do our civil wars and everything. When we're killing ourselves, they'll come to us with food, aid, and so just to help. So even though you don't like, even Somalia, when they sacked the Americas, they still brought food. At least the suffering masses, here is food. Grace. Amen? Listen, finally, the last way you can develop yourself is by prayer. So first is by hearing the word of God. Second is by practicing the word. And then third is by prayer. Bible says in Jude verse 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Building up yourself on your 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 most holy faith. Building up yourself on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost by building up yourself in the Holy Ghost. Build up yourself by prayer. Praying in the Holy Ghost. You build up. You build up. You build up. You build up. Upbuilding. Building of upward, in an upward direction, is builded when you pray in the Holy Ghost. No building when you don't pray. No prayer, no building. Tell the person next to you, no prayer, no building. We are ground level, foundation only. No blocks, no roof, no tiles, no ceiling, no furniture, just foundation. The bare sky. But I see you building up yourself from today. Stand to your feet, let's close. All right. May you be doers and not clappers only. All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for blessing us and hearing our prayer today. Father, I pray for everyone with their hand lifted up that you cause us to grow in you and mature in you like never before, in the name of Jesus. As every head is bowed, every eye closed, if you want to give your life to Jesus today, you want to say, Pastor, I want to be born again. I want to know Jesus as my Savior. Lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you before we close. Just lift up your right hand high. God bless you. Lift it up high. All right. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.